Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. It is, I don't know what day, time is it anymore at all. I've been under the rock for a very long time. The only thing I do know is, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, one of the most, the king of kings himself, the man that will one day will find a vaccine to the Sean virus. I am the hot rod. And on the phone line, I have the virus himself that's worse than the coronavirus, who's been a thorn on my pain. His name is...
Good grief.
Sean Black.
You've been watching way too much wrestling. It is, it's Sean Black back in the building. Good grief.
After a few weeks, I got to get a lot out of my system. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only. She is the rock to my back. She is my backup, my partner, my amiga. She is...
Oh. You know, the show hasn't started until we've gotten the giggle from her.
Oh, my goodness.
She is.
What's up, y'all? What's up?
What's going on?
Hello, ladies. You're welcome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, 347-989-8402. I still remember the number, 347-989-8402. Before we get into it, don't forget Tuesday nights right here on Blog Talk Radio, our sister show, The Menu with Brother B and Big Red and the rest of the gang. Tune into that at 8:30. That's Tuesday night, 8:30, The Menu with Big Red and Brother B. Okay, we have a lot to talk about. Let's start with you, Sean Black. I have like 10 topics, so let's get right to it. First off, I know this topic is old, but Joe Biden, the man who's supposed to go against Donald Trump, of course, just like any other politician, any other nonsense before election, they come up with something of blast from the past. And I'm talking about this, the lady who accused Joe Biden of sexual assault. Sean, not to tell about the story too much, basically, these are the questions. Do you think this is going to hurt his chance? Do you believe that sexual assault is real, or is there something that, or is there someone who's misunderstanding? And do you think, basically, why it came out now compared to in the past where Joe Biden was vice president or even before that?
Well, looking at what we've been hearing over the last few weeks, and we can't even really say it's a few weeks because this is a story that's been floating around for at least a year now. We've known and heard since he decided to run for president of the United States. We also know that there are a lot of there are pending accusations against him. We know going in that most pundits looked at Joe Biden going in as the realistic candidate to potentially win the nomination for the Democratic Party and then challenge President Trump. And I think when he first got in, he got this huge lead. All of that momentum started to happen, and then we saw the Bernie Sanders train roll in and get lots of momentum. And we saw, fast-forwarding to today, how that happened between a healthy dose of media bias, a healthy dose of other things and things that were out of Bernie's control, some that probably were in his control. He's no longer part of the race. So with Biden in now, and having now this potential sexual harassment or case against him, in the eyes of the public media, we also know how that's going to be looked at. But there are two things going against Biden in this. Every time Biden goes and does some sort of media junket where he's doing interviews or whatever, he seems to be his own worst enemy. Because either he's forgetting something or he's stumbling over his words, he can't get his points across, and that is nothing more than bait for President Trump.
It's old age.
Exactly.
Old age.
And that goes back to my second point, is the age factor is going to be looked at because we're looking right now at two 70-year-olds on the north side of 70 going against each other for presidency of the United States, and with a sexual harassment and seemingly a credible case, because we've been hearing more and more about things that have been going on. How is this going to work in this environment, knowing what's been going on in the world with the coronavirus, knowing what we know of? How is that going to work?
So you say a guy in his 70s, charged with sexual assault, just like the other guy in his 70s, charged with sexual assault in the past when he was running for president. Such a candidate for the job, I think. You know, it seems that's when you need that in your resume now, you know.
But even more so. Just to finish my point, the one that's actually running for the presidency is denying sexual assault and sexual harassment, and then the person that's in office right now has basically bragged that he's done it and gotten away with it. So this is what you've got going for you in November. We're just about 6 months away, and this is what you have to help run the country. Oh, boy, we messed up.
So, Nancy, I remember I asked you a few shows back about when you came from, like, 50 candidates down to basically the same old philosophy of two old white men running for power again. Has anything changed from back then? Like, do you think, you know, we're still going backwards with these type of stories? It seems like we hear these stories over and over anytime someone's running for power.
I think we said it in the one of the last shows already. It's due to the times that we're also, you know, living in. So everything right now, all I have to say is, okay, this person did such and such to me, as far as, quote, unquote, you know, your Me Too movement. Whatever the case is, don't forget when Trump was running, he had that grab them by the, you know, by the private thing, yeah, going on. And he still won. He had the Russian investigation going on. Still won. So I don't think we can, like, even call it. We can't call it yet. Because to me, like, back in those days, I remember the guy that used to be on Family Feud, the old guy. I'm trying to remember what his name is.
Oh, Richard? No. Was it Richard?
I know Richard Dawson.
They kiss him.
Right. Yeah. Remember when he would always kiss everybody? Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, why? But that was those times then. That was appropriate, quote-unquote, appropriate then. That wouldn't slide right now.
No.
And the same thing could go to Biden. You might be able to dig this up, and just like many people would say, why didn't you do that when he was the vice president candidate? You could have used that for Obama's campaign since then, and you didn't. So why are we doing that now?
So exactly. So should we give the story or the story any credit right now compared to back then?
I think it might work for him. I think it could work for him. It could really work for him because it could also make it look like, okay, you know, Trump, you guys are being petty, or it can be another diversion. You know, it's really up to the voters. So you can put as much as you want out in the media. You seen Trump won last time, despite everything that was out.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. So, I don't know. It's up to the voters.
There's still stuff going on right now. And he's still going
But this is what I'm saying, and there's still people supporting him. So it's really, really up to the voters.
The crazy part about this whole thing is that Joe Biden can't seem to gain any momentum. I mean, if you're one of those people that cares about polls, the polls show that Biden versus Trump, Biden is in the lead and like close to double digits. And I think the president knows that. But as we all know, polls, one, they don't really mean a hill of beans until the election, and two, polls change. But even more so, and more to the fact that it's very hard to campaign and gain any momentum if you're what looks like locked up in your basement campaigning on a computer, because that's basically what Joe Biden has been doing for the last 2 months or so.
Well, you can't go out at rallies right now. Well,
no.
I mean, it's happening soon. You never know. But going to president, I'm sorry, I'm just laughing because I had a conversation with Sean Black about this earlier. I'm Lady T, your president right now.
Your president, today. Not my president.
Well, President Trump admitted today in one of his news conferences that he took the drug So what's that drug called again?
Hydroxychloroquine.
I don't believe it. But go ahead.
Why you don't believe it? Let's get right to it. Why
I really don't believe it. He could say it. I wish he would have showed it, advertised it, showed them injecting him. I don't believe him. I don't believe him.
You think he's saying it just
to promote
just
it? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because as Sean and I were talking about earlier, that he's taking it because, let's be honest, he was afraid, quote unquote, that when his people got it. But why are you taking that drug that the FDA told you not to take? And then has some heavy side effects. And you're taking it, if you're going to take it, you're supposed to take it if you have the virus, but you're taking it to prevent of getting the virus. Sean, man, does that make any sense? And it says I know you're not a doctor, but in your expertise.
I'm going to look at this in the best way that I possibly can. First off, before anything else, we definitely know that President Trump is a habitual liar. And also, he tries to be a showman, which is something that, in his mind, he has to look strong. There's a reason why he doesn't wear a mask when he's supposed to and contradicts everything that the policies that he put in place for all the other people in this country are supposed to follow that he doesn't follow himself. So that's one thing. Second of all, it's been talked about ad nauseum for about 2 months that hydroxychloroquine, which has been only used for malaria and lupus treatments, that's what the drug is supposed to be for. It's been shown that in a lot of instances, hydroxychloroquine actually causes damage to the heart. This is a respiratory disease we're talking about as far as COVID-19. So the last thing you would want to have is something dealing with the heart, which then hurts the respiratory, the breathing. That's something you don't want to have. But as I told you when we were off the air earlier this afternoon when we talked about this, I said there's another reasoning behind why he's bringing this up. And the reasoning behind this is he's continuing to push this hydroxychloroquine narrative because in his mind, he feels that it's the game changer. He does not want to look weak. So he's going to continue to back something that in his mind he thinks will work. Now, he says he talked to his doctor about this, and the doctors told him it's not necessary for you to take, but if you feel you want to take it, do you? Since he's the president, he can basically go ahead and take that. He said he's taking it along with zinc pills. Now, the other issue here with him taking the hydroxychloroquine is that he is further deflecting all of the other things that he needs to talk about, which is there still is not a universal testing protocol for anybody in the 50 United States, the 48 contiguous United States, and in Hawaii as well, and Alaska. There is no testing nationwide. Basically, we have 50 states soon by the end of this week are about to open up. And they're going to be fighting it over in their own little way to try to figure out what works best for them. And the more you hear about the president and taking this medication, a medication that he basically said weeks ago, it works, you have nothing to lose, take it. And then somebody decided to listen to the president and then took the wrong hydroxychloroquine and ended up dying. The pill that this person took ended up taking something that was used for cleaning fish tanks is what killed this person.
Well, I'm sorry, Sean, back. Wasn't this the same president last month kind of quote-unquote jokingly about bleach and Clorox and drinking it or injecting yourself with bleach? Is that the same guy that suggested that?
The same person that claims he was being sarcastic when we all know about his quote-unquote sarcasm, and his whole spiel of saying something, seeing how the reaction is, and then when he knows this blowback, then at the back end of it say, oh, I was only being sarcastic. So we already know that spiel because he's done it more than once. In this instance, we know the things that come out of his mouth you take with a grain of salt, and then you kick that grain of salt somewhere else.
Okay. So let me see. President Trump has been rambling that we're the number one country were the most tested. Does having the number one quote unquote tested in the world mean anything to you?
What does it mean that we're getting statistics on the testing? Because, I mean, we're still one of the countries that have the most deaths. So help me understand which one
no,
is
we
more
have
important.
Tops in deaths
yes.
in the world. We're tops in that.
Oh, we are now. Okay.
So we're number
yes,
one
we
in something.
Yes. So far, we are close to 90,000. By July, we probably hit 100,000. And like I told Sean Black yesterday, New York has the most deaths so far. We have enough people to fill out Madison Square Garden. That's how much deaths we have, over 25,000, give or take,
yes.
so far.
Correct.
Yeah. So yeah, so does this test mean anything overall? Lazy?
I'm just thinking, does drawing blood mean anything other than you're getting your results? So... I mean, that's all these tests are. Either
yeah,
you are or you're not.
But how
either you have it or you don't,
I
mean.
But how are we going to keep paying for these tests? Like, are you going to get yourself tested every day, every other week? You know, is the health insurance going to cover these tests? And, like, how this testing going to work out overall? If the people want the old tests to open back up and they want testing to be done, who's going to pay for all this?
Well, they'll worry about that later. You know that, right? They'll worry about it later. No different than your bill collectors will worry about your debt later. So we'll hear about that later. You know that.
Of course.
Or next year. Or next year.
Maybe next 5 years. I don't know. We'll be more in depth.
And talk about Trump. This over the weekend, there'll be a war of words between Obama and Trump. And I know Sean was going crazy over the Obama speech, like he actually graduated this year, not. But do you think it's about time Obama says regarding Trump after years that Trump been talking trash, Obama, the Obamagate as they call it now?
Oh, that's the other ploy from this current president. Anything else goes right down the toilet, the first thing you say is something about Obama. And then the media takes off on that tangent for a couple of days, maybe a week. It'll keep everybody away from what's going on that he's not doing. I think President Obama is of the mindset of the old E.F. Hutton, where he speaks very, very little. But when he talks, people listen. This was from a leaked, you can take any guesses as to who leaked what, but it was a phone conversation that the former president was having. And he basically criticized the Trump administration for the handling of this. I think when you look at how it was stated, it was succinct. It was very specific. It was to the point, and it was very, very truthful. And we know in the last few years, we've barely seen, like seeing Obama is like seeing a comet in the sky nowadays. It's like, oh, I just saw a comet come by. That's usually what happens with former President Obama. We don't hear or see him that often. So when he does speak, it carries a lot of weight. But even more so, I don't know what triggered the president more. Was it the comments that he made that were leaked? Or was it the shot that he seemingly took, not to say seemingly, that he did take during the nationwide commencement presentations that were being shown on national TV that President Obama actually had spoken and said? Whatever it is, it doesn't take that much to trigger President Trump. And I don't think it takes that much for President Trump to go back and start saying things about former President Obama, no matter how off the wall it sounds or how silly it makes him look.
Lady T, I told Sean the other day, when I saw an Obama speech, I saw something I've not seen in a while, like a leader speaking who gave an actual speech, some type of motivation. You don't see that in the White House anymore. All you see is chaos, reporters, and the leader of the free world fighting. Arguing over God knows what. And it made me wonder, like, what happened to our leaders of today? What was your thought when you saw the Obama speech?
Well, as far as the Obama speech, I thought what he said was actually great. He was delivering a speech with a narrative that was based on motivation. You understand what I'm saying? So he's encouraging and lending those words. Some people would say now may not have been the time, but I'm sorry. It's no better time than the present and when it's happening, because number 45 would have took that opportunity if the shoe was on the other foot. And what I want to say as far as number 45, he's a narcissist. Narcissists don't think that what they do is wrong, but they view what others do as wrong. So he felt Obama giving that speech, not even saying the person's name, you understand what I'm saying, or saying, well, I think he said this administration. That could mean anything. Yeah. That could mean medical, whatever is going on. We don't know what he specifically meant. But that's the problem with narcissists. They view what you did as wrong, but they don't take a look at themselves. Because I've seen Trump do that same thing when he was sitting there and calling, what's her name, Pocahontas, this, that, the next, when they was interviewing him. He had a name for everyone. They're doing an interview with you.
Or the report last week, why you go ask China. Go ask China that question.
Yes.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. So he doesn't see wrong in how he speaks, but he sees wrong in how another person may speak. And that's the difference between character versus personality. Your president has character. He has to be in his act all day. That's what narcissists do. They put up a front for people. They're in their act all day. Where you have Obama, he's in his personality. That is who he is. He can't change that. He looked like the same president, anything, saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't look at it like he was taking shots. Oh, well, that's how narcissists feel when they're guilty of things. So it must have had applied.
And
talking about narcissists, go ahead.
To Lady T's point, which is perfect to what you're saying. Remember when President Trump was doing all of these briefings for coronavirus? He did like one every day for like 2 weeks until he realized it was going nowhere and he decided against it.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke for 13 hours. This is something that was actually documented. He spoke every day for at least 2 weeks with Dr. Fauci, et cetera, et cetera. Out of 13 hours, he spent 4.5 minutes saying anything with any empathy towards the victims that passed away. Think about that.
Don't forget, narcissists don't have any empathy, Sean. So you know that.
We know that.
They have none. Zero.
And out of every minute that he spent giving condolences, he spent 10 minutes talking about how great he was and how great his administration was. So for every minute that he said something in the positive towards the victims, et cetera, he spent 10 minutes talking about himself and sort of praise. So this is the kind of person that we said lacks empathy, has no integrity, and as we've documented and as Lady T so eloquently stated, is a narcissist, a serial narcissist. And when you couple that with all of the things that have gone on that he will refuse to admit to on the way to where we are now, where we're going to probably end up having well over 100,000 people dead, not sick, dead, well over 1.5 million cases in this country of people that have coronavirus, all on this president's watch, and then blaming the previous administration on lack of preparedness to show you what we've been dealing with going down the pike. And this person wants to open up the country, and it's basically turned into Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome for every single individual state to try to figure out how to do this without having a second wave of infection.
Okay. K-Dog, anything like to add on to that? Welcome, K-Dog.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Hey, good evening, everybody. Donald Trump is not a leader. He has shown poor leadership throughout this whole crisis. He hasn't shown leadership not once. Even when he's speaking to the American people, you could see by his body language, you could tell by the way he speaks, it's pure arrogance. He doesn't care. All he cares about is, oh, well, the businesses. I'm like, yeah, you're talking about the businesses, but we could have a next surge of the coronavirus. Did you think about that? He doesn't even know what he's talking about. He's standing there. You know, if you're going to attack former President Obama, who's shown more leadership than anything else, another thing I wanted to point out about this joker in the White House. Here it is. It's 2020. You have a lot of young people graduating this year. Now, why can't you address the young people? But no, you're going to criticize President Obama's speech. You're going to criticize President Obama. President Obama is 100 times more presidential than he is. As a matter of fact, any president is way more presidential than he is. Donald Trump just doesn't care. He just doesn't care at all.
That's a very good point, K-Dog. Trump should have gave a speech of his own
but he didn't.
To his fans out there.
But he didn't.
Mostly to himself.
But does he care?
And talk about narcissists. We have Brother B on the line now. The number one narcissist from
Listen,
radio.
I will not.
Oh, man. Hey, what's up,
first
brother?
Of all, greetings and salutations, everyone. I will not sit back and listen to Sean Black, Lady T, and K-Dog disrespect the man that has made America great.
Thank you.
Again.
Thank you.
I will
Thank
not
you.
Oh,
sit
my
back
goodness.
And stand for it. This man.
You mean make America,
shown,
make America
listen,
horrible.
Listen, this man has shown you time and time again what America is all about. Now, it's not his fault.
Your MAGA hat must be on too tight tonight,
listen,
but all
listen,
right.
Listen, it is not his fault that some of you minorities are not getting hit to what he is telling you.
Whoa. Oh, right? Minorities like you're not.
You minorities
watch out now.
Are not listening to the message that he's telling you. He's making America great again.
Okay.
And you need to see that it is being made great by the devastation that he and others like him support and have brought out. This is America. This is what it is. And this is what
that speech just so broke my heart. That speech just so broke my heart. I'm going to keep sure going out to vote.
What's on my mute button right now? I'm looking at my mute button.
Death, destruction, no accountability, and straight narcissistic arrogance and whatever other word you choose to use, this is what makes America great again. People infighting, people wanting to destroy, black people getting shot just for jogging through places, black people getting taken. This is making America great again. This is what it is.
Well, there'll be one more you failed to mention that I'm getting this from Green. I hope I'm saying this right, by Green Beasley. Excuse me if I'm wrong. You forgot to mention that Trump gave us $1,200 too.
No, please.
He didn't give us
how many
people.
How many people
an advancement on your taxes? He gonna take that back. Listen. When has anybody ever in government give you something that they ain't gonna take back? Exactly. And you know, listen. I listened to the speech that I was watching Fox News this morning. I don't know why. I guess I was looking at.
Hold on, wait a minute. You watching the news today?
Yeah, I actually was.
Specifically says Fox News. You heard that.
Yeah,
I'm
surprised you didn't sprain your eyeballs while you were watching.
That's why he came on with the Trump
anthem
going on.
No,
we get it.
It was. I was looking at the markets because the TV when I went to work, the TV was on the Fox thing, and I didn't feel like
sure.
trying to look at the market.
Sure.
But no, check this out. I heard. You know what's crazy? I love how they played Obama's, like, the part where they said he was talking about Trump. But I was looking for where he mentioned the man's name. And it's very interesting. Well, the whole thing is, I love how people like to spin this little narrative, and they like to misconstrue words, and they like to put out false crap.
That's what
you know, just off of, just
to,
well, I know
it.
we're off. The, well, then all of them are narcissists because not once did I hear him say anything about Trump. So why are they all of a sudden saying that he's attacking Trump? He didn't mention Trump. Because when he says leadership, that doesn't have to necessarily mean Trump. That could be any of the politicians out there, whether it's Democrat or it's Republican. But, of course, they're interested and they just want to put it like, oh, he's talking about Trump. And I'm like this. Listen, the man has been out of office for almost 4 years. And if you're still talking about him, then he must be a hard act to follow.
Exactly.
But you know what? I guess this is why we are still hated in this country, because a lot of us are hard acts to follow. Our culture is a hard act to follow. Culture, someone, people with culture and then people with just a his story, you can't compare.
Brother B, not only is it a hard act to follow, it's also a hard act to copy, which I've seen a lot of things happen.
Of course.
Think about
that. Exactly.
I know.
It's like Obama must have been. Obama was one hell of a leader. You can't follow that. You in the famous words of MC Hammer, you can't touch this.
Well, it wasn't so much
Obama had the resilience and class personality versus that character. You can't pretend all the time. You pretend. We're not, but we come up like that. I'm sorry. A lot of us
But Lady T, we all supposed to be like the 50 Cents or, you know, Jay-Z's or some of these other, you know, like that's what represents black. That's what they think it is. Some of these basketball players, football players that go out there and get themselves in trouble in hip hop music. That's what all black people are about. They're not supposed to be lawyers or attorneys or doctors.
You know, it's very interesting what you said, Brother B. It's called talent. So they do have talent. They do have business aspects also. So sometimes I hate when people say you're not supposed to be the rapper. It's that I know some guys that play basketball that have other things going on than basketball. You understand what I'm saying? I think each of us was born with some sort of talent.
I got you. But that's the thing. You're supposed to have the talent, not the education.
Well, it depends on your definition of education. Is it in the books or is it in the colleges? We ain't supposed to have none of that.
Just entertain us.
We wasn't even supposed to read and write as slaves.
So that's why we're just supposed to entertain them.
Sean, last word before we go to our next topic.
I think that we know what the con game is. We know what the con is here. We also know what a smear campaign looks like as well. And as I said before, anytime that something happens, the boogeyman jumps back out and, oh my goodness, this big black Obama that's jumping out of the trees. And here comes President Trump to mention something negative about the former president to get the attention off of what should be looked at, which is mishandling of potentially the worst pandemic in over 100 years, record unemployment, over 30 million people have lost jobs. Out of those 30 million people, 48% of them are going to probably lose those jobs permanently. People furloughed hoping they keep their jobs. And then we talk about the stock market, and stock market keeps growing, and it gained 900 points today. It had a big jump because of the potential vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. But as I've said before, 84% of the stocks that are traded are only owned by 1% of the people in this country. So none of that economy trickles down to you or the person that works around the corner or the person that works at the bodega. It doesn't get seen there. So think about that.
And can I say something real quick with what Sean said? You remember when Obama was in office, I think it was unemployment two times. We had maybe two or three big storms. We had this healthcare stuff that he was battling, Bin Laden, all sorts of stuff during those 8 years. But by the time he left, he had that all cleaned up and had left room for opportunity. What did Trump do? He went back and wanted to sign off on everything that Obama did, turn it over. You understand what I'm saying? So this is the downfall of that turnover that we're feeling.
Of course.
He should have left things in place instead of being that egotistical narcissist, left things in place and focused on what he wanted to do. But he was so focused on what the next person is doing or has done that he couldn't do that. So when you do that, you're wasting a lot of your time where you can be getting things done for you. And that's what we're feeling right now in this administration.
At that time, he had inherited a recession. He inherited an almost bankrupt auto industry, which he bailed out. And then the auto industry not only paid it back, but there was interest on top of that, which that surplus went back into the government, which then came back out to the rest of the country.
Exactly.
The unemployment rate dropped to 10% or a little under 10% at the time, where there were jobs that were being created. A lot of this stuff was there that this particular president continues to act as if it didn't happen. I mean, you can try to rewrite history, but, you know, if people have history recorded, all you got to do is just look it up.
It can never be erased.
Yes, it can. You can burn a book quick. People got short-term memories.
Because you know what it is? And you know what? And let me add this. To all the people who said that Obama ain't do nothing, try to read your try to do some research, please, before you say that. Thank you very much.
It's not gonna matter.
Thank you. But on to the next headache that this nation is facing right now. Times are hard. John Black, I know what you want to say, but you have to be very clear about this. A lot of things are starting to open up slowly, but there've been a lot of protests going on right now. Protests with guns, going on. Now is the time to open a business, Sean Black. A lot of people saying yes. A lot of people have been homes for the last 2 months. People need food. People need money. People need jobs. Time is rough. Sean Black, now is the time to open up.
I'll put it to you like this. I don't know how you can open up a business if you're in a hospital or dead. I don't know how you can have customers for a business if all of your clientele are in hospitals or are dead. I don't know how you can have schools with students if all of those students are sick. The problem is, as I said a little earlier, there's no nationwide pathway to safely opening up everything and knowing. Because as we talked about before, we're still learning stuff about COVID-19 seemingly every other day. And then when we initially started talking about this, it was, well, it's just people with underlying conditions, you know, diabetes, heart disease, et cetera, and the elderly. Well, that was disproven because it's not just that. Now we have children who are coming up with a disease that is linked, that looks very similar to Kawasaki disease, red blotches. Raspberry tongue, blood clots in the lungs, that kind of stuff. And these are the kinds of things that you don't want to have going forward. So now you say, let's open up businesses, let's open up parks, et cetera. There was a church that opened up 2 weeks ago in Georgia, and now they've closed again because they had a spike in coronavirus cases. We had a pastor who talked about, well, I'm going to open up the congregation, et cetera, and everybody's going to be fine to come and preach. He got coronavirus and passed away. We had a case in London of a woman, a black woman in London, who was a train conductor, who was spit on in her face by someone who had coronavirus. You know what happened? The conductor is now dead, with an 11-year-old child wondering, why did her mother have to die? We're talking about things that have happened all around, not just this country, but around the world. And if those kinds of things are happening around, how is it safe for you to open up a business and think that it's going to make any feasible sense without consequence of what's happening? At some point, we're going to have to open up the country, but when you know that the cases are still going up, every week we're having another equivalent of 9/11 in deaths. How many times is this going to happen before we realize something has to happen in place from the federal side before we can start moving forward nationwide everywhere else?
True, but to what Sean said, I read a story. I am a mother of five kids who lost her job as a restaurant manager. I need to put food on the table to feed my five kids. The unemployment is not coming in. There's problems after problems. Bills are being backed up. Mortgage needs to be paid. we need to open up the restaurant. What can he tell that type of, what he could tell a mother like that who's desperate right now for some type of living, for a family?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer based on that. But here's the thing. The reason why that question is the way it is, there shouldn't have to be a choice, because in black neighborhoods and Latino neighborhoods where you know that the poverty level has been higher, or people that are working in those that live in those neighborhoods that work are in higher susceptible rates of infection because they have those essential jobs, the ones that work at the hospital, the ones that work in a restaurant, et cetera. Those that have those jobs are more at risk of getting sick. They can't take off, where other neighborhoods that are a little more well off can work from home, can actually get a laptop computer and work from home and not risk getting sick and bringing that stuff home. There are a lot of issues that happen between all of this that are tough. But at the same time, there has to be that nationwide pathway, as we've seen with the stimulus package, and I believe Nancy Pelosi tried to get another one pushed through that the House passed, but is probably going to be shot down by the president if it ever gets on his desk.
Okay, I have to give it to Lady Tina. Go ahead, Lady Tina.
So my question to this is, when will it ever be safe? When will it be safe? Because we're still learning about, you know, COVID. People act like all these germs wasn't around even prior to them finding out about the COVID before the shutdown. So I've seen displays of, like, the salons and things are going to have a plastic. I'm thinking that plastic is holding more germs than anything. So how often will that be cleaned or thrown out, or is it going to be disposable plastic? What is it? Because even now when we go into the stores, they're not cleaning properly, but they have the plexiglass up. So my concern is, do you guys know what you're really doing moving forward, and what do you plan on opening slowly but surely? And how many more people are going to be affected by it? Like you said, some people are not even receiving their unemployment insurance. Some people are going through their savings in their bank account right now. So why do we think that this is going to be over in a blink of an eye? Why do we think that certain things are going to be open ASAP and we're not going to get more people getting sick? We do not know. So they really, really have to figure that. And even with the schools, like September, I don't know.
I don't want to talk about that. That's still nerve-wracking to me. But to your point, Lady T, Texas opened up not a few days ago, and we saw a rise of corona cases. At least close to 1,000 people are arrived since they opened up.
Can I say something real quick, Hot Rod, to that also? You know, all you people that think you're staying inside and you're not going outside, let's say even for a walk around the block to get some fresh air in and to build your immune system, I'm kind of worried about the people who's been cooped up, because you do need to go outside. You do need to get fresh air. You do need to get your vitamin D and so forth. Are you going to be the first people to be subjected, God forbid, to the corona because you've been thinking, quote unquote, you've been protecting yourself? Or the people that want to wear the mask on all day without letting, you know, without breathing? You know how much germs those masks already hold?
I'm very, very worried.
It's really serious. I don't think we know that. And every time you pull your mask down and then you touch your face or touch your hand, you just put the germs right on your shirt, your hands, your pants. I don't know.
Plus,
if people are thinking, or we're thinking with fear.
Plus, wearing those gloves and those masks in the hot weather, you're sweating. I felt the gloves.
That's
true.
It's like, oh, my
that,
gosh.
That, no, it is. It's true.
Go ahead, Kato.
Well, allow me to interrupt for a second, but, you know, also I just wanted to point out, too, that in Seoul, South Korea, I believe, that there was a nightclub that they had reopened, and they said that a lot of people caught the virus in there. But also true to the fact that, yes, you do need to take a trip outside. I mean, it's not that you have to take, you know, a trip far, but just stretch your legs a little bit, you know, to take a little bit of a breather or something. That is true. But also,
I want to
know,
like, why
careful.
We Why are we panicking versus learning about boosting your immune system? Nobody want to learn while we in quarantine how to do that. What's the benefit, especially for your mental health? Yeah, because that's what they keep doing. And the more you sit and you're tuning into that every single day, those are the only things you're listening to versus the information that you can get online. It's easy access.
Oh, Brother B, I know you have a lot to say about this.
Actually, no, I don't really have too much to say. I mean, really, in all reality, listen, I got to go to work. So quarantining is not really something that I had the fortunate thing of doing. I had to go to work. I have to put on a mask. I have to do what I have to do. Life doesn't stop. I mean, all right, you go outside, you know, cause everybody's in rebel mode now. So they want to go outside because they're tired of being inside. But then what happens? It spikes again. And the next thing you know, what the governor's going to say, oh, everybody got to go back inside again. So what is in and out, in and out, in and out? It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my whole attitude, and I'm sorry whether people want to hear it or not, I've never been a fan of the whole quarantine. The first thing should have been mandatory is everybody wear a mask. That's the first thing, foremost. Everything is unfolding in certain stages, and some of it is backwards. Like public transportation, the trains and the buses, you should know off the bat. Jake should have known off the bat that was the biggest carrier of all.
Yes.
But I think they were still bullshitting around, twiddling their thumbs, trying to get their plans together, when in all actuality, it was just becoming more of an issue with everybody jumping on these nasty-ass trains and buses and spreading it. And then you're telling everybody to wear a mask. And then you're telling everybody to stay home. Like, it's too late. It's like the damage has been done.
Big time.
Okay.
How do we move forward now? Listen, get you a mask. Do whatever gets you a face covering that's adequate for you. You know, that especially that's definitely breathable, because these masks are, listen, they're not made, we weren't made to wear stuff over our mouths and faces and stuff like that. We need to take in, you know, some air, fresh air. And the fact that we're breathing in some of our own, you know, carbon dioxide when we're breathing it out under these masks, I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. But we got to do it.
Stuff that's built in the mask, also, you're breathing that because I'm just thinking about somebody that was like standing at a safe distance away from me, but I was smelling his freaking mask, and I'm wondering, does he not smell himself? It's like, come on.
I mean, you know, but so much hand sanitizer, people wear gloves, they're hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer should not
replace washing your hands. Everybody needs to learn less to be a little cleaner, wear your mask, and just go about your business. Just go about your everyday life. But listen, whatever's going to be is going to be. There's certain things that you just can't stop, but you just have to take more precaution now when you move, especially when you're outside around people.
The problem with that line of thinking is that the leadership that's supposed to be teaching this stuff isn't.
It's failing.
Not only are they not teaching it, they're not even following their own protocol. So then what you end up having is the people that are out there now protesting at City Hall with guns. Those are the ones.
Sean Black.
Like this one that I saw online, and I love the way the internet sometimes does this. They created somebody by the name of, her name is Genevieve Peters. They call her Coronavirus Karen. She went into a Trader Joe's. And berated the person, the manager in there, because the manager wanted her to wear a mask. She said, no, I can't do it. It's because, and it's the same thing that we hear a lot of this misinformation. Oh, the CO2 is going to poison me and I can't wear my mask and I'm not supposed to blah, blah, blah. So she gets into this argument. She's recording this whole thing on her phone. So it's basically she's looking for a fight.
Of course.
Goes into this back and forth, tells the guy, manager comes out, well, what we can do, as she goes into the parking lot, I think she called the cops. And eventually it was like, well, I need this to happen because I can't wear a mask, et cetera. This guy said, look, if you give me your credit card and a list, you give me a list of all of the things that you want, I will go in, pay for it for you, and I will bring them out for you. She says, no, because I don't want any germs on my credit card. And I don't need personal information, blah, blah, blah. And this is the nonsense that goes on a regular basis when people are, one, misinformed, and two, entitled. And then they go out and they figure because they can't get their hair cut, or they can't get their nails done, or they can't go and do the things that they're used to doing. Every time we have something that happens, the quote-unquote new normal changes. We are not, let's really get to the point here. We will never go back to the way we were before. We haven't gone back to the
That's
way we were before 9/11.
It's a wrap.
We haven't gone back to the way we were before Superstorm Sandy. We haven't gone back to a lot of things. And the reasoning is because the new normal evolves after something big changes society. And that's something that we have to think about.
It's an inconvenience.
And it's gone out throughout history.
But that's the problem. It's an inconvenience. See, it's one thing for things to change, but when it becomes an inconvenience on everybody's life, like people now have to stay home and teach their own kids and deal with them. Some people, they're out of work. Some people rather use it as a negative and sit back and collect money all day instead of using it as a positive and maybe start something different, try a new hustle, job, try something different, you know what I'm saying, instead of sitting back waiting for a check. Because after July, I think, 1st, that extra $600 stops. So what are you going to do then?
And this is what the leadership is supposed to be taking care of.
Well, okay, talk about the new normal. I want to talk about social distancing and people who are following it and not following it, you know, and how the police are handling this situation. But to be posted many times on social media that this is not the cop's job. But as you see in television and social media, on one side, in parts where people, I should say white people, are not really 6 feet apart. They're getting masks. They're being told to, you know, step away. While in the poor neighborhoods, the black, Spanish minority neighborhoods, they've been tickets, summoned, and high arrest. Perfect example, the story that got everyone outraged, the story that happened in the train station where the mother saw her child. A cop asked her to put on her mask. Some words was exchanged, I believe. And, you know, it got a little bit ugly. And the rest of the mother, finding the child inside the train station, but let her go. Sean Black, I know you was upset with the situation, but was the mother wrong for basically having an exchange word with the cop? Or she should just not comply, put on the mask, and kept on walking?
We've seen this a million times where the perceived slight of anybody that is a minority, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're black, any brown or dark person, if you say anything cross to a police officer, whether the police officer is wrong or not, it's aggression you're met with. We have seen over the last few weeks people in parks with no masks on and police walk over to them being Caucasian people sitting in a park, and then the cop is saying, why are you not, one, social distancing, two, why do you not have a mask? Not only was there no aggression, the police officers actually had spare masks on them and was handing masks over to them and say, well, I understand it's a beautiful day outside. You got to practice social distancing. Here's a mask. Have a good day. Fast forward that to what happened and that we saw, I believe it was in Canarsie, where not only we saw the incident you talked about that was in the train station, there was an incident in, I believe it was Canarsie, where the police went to stop, I believe, one or two people that weren't wearing masks, and it turned into a full-scale brawl before the cops started beating them guys up and then arresting them. Now, that's the juxtaposition that you have between the police, who are supposed to uphold the law, in a minority situation, and then in another situation where there isn't the aggression that you would think is there. And it makes you wonder why people have the ideas behind why they feel they are being treated by the police when you're a minority.
Oh, Lady T?
I'm just thinking one more time. We said this before. These masks are requirements, and if they're going to be doing that in certain neighborhoods as far as giving out masks, they should be doing it in all neighborhoods collectively.
Exactly.
We know that they won't, but I'm just saying that's the first thing that I think they need to do. because you do see people social distancing. You do see people wearing their masks. You might see them even pull down their masks. You cannot require that I have to keep my mask up 24/7. I need to breathe fresh air. This is a requirement. This is not like state law, federal law, whatever the case may be. It's a requirement because you guys still don't even know what to do with these masks and if this mask is going to be preventing the coronavirus. Because don't forget, certain people that already practice all these precautions have gotten it as well. This is really based on your immune system.
True. K-Dot?
You know, the thing is with the way that the police are handling things, I've seen them being very lenient towards a lot of white people in the parks. It's like they're not going to say that much, but again, like what Sean Black, LAET, everybody else notices is that as soon as it's a black or Hispanic neighborhood, they run up on them like kamikazes and tackle them down and throw them down and mistreat them in the worst kind of way. I mean, there's a problem here.
And Brother B.
They don't like you Negroes. That's that.
So much Fox News today. Stay off of Fox News, damn it.
They listen, you know, all right. I was watching Fox News this morning. So they were protesting in Jersey. There was this gym owner who was protesting. Now they were all, none of them were social distancing. Besides, oh, let me just mention there were no minorities in the crowd. But okay.
So there was white people. So basically
all white. Yeah. So they were all, none of them were social distancing practicing. None of that. And none of them had masks on. And
some had masks. A few people had masks, Brother B.
I saw some stuff around their neck. I ain't see them with no mask on, and they was just like proud, like they were standing there. They was talking to the reporter who had tattooed on his arm was "We the people." I was like, wow, this is a real nutcake right here. But anyway,
instead of stuff around their face, they went stuff on their hood. They went stuff on their head. You saying?
They just had like scars and stuff around their neck. They weren't wearing masks. They weren't practicing social distancing at all. And it's like no one had anything to say. No police showed up and nothing like that. My thing is this: we already know that there's a very big part of NYPD and other law enforcement around the country that's just bigoted toward minorities, and it's not going to change no matter how much marching or whatever we do. This whole mask thing is just another reason to bust people's chops. The whole mask thing is not law. It's like what Lady T said earlier, it's not a law. It's just something that they're told it's a requirement to go into certain places, and they're just trying to enforce it. First of all, they should not be enforcing any of this. This is not their job. Because it's obvious that they can't handle it. So why put somebody, I mean, listen, they can hardly handle their firearms. What makes you think they can handle, you know, people having masks on or masks off? You know, it's not appropriate to have them doing job. They don't have subtlety and they don't have the tact to do it. Simple and plain.
And
but
it's
there's
funny,
a double standard
point,
that exists and it's always going to continue to exist.
And to your point, Brother B., Wisconsin, there's a massive protest of mostly white people with their guns, machine guns, going to war. Nothing happened to them. With 10 black or 10 minority people protest, guaranteed someone will be shot or arrested. And that's a bigger threat.
That's why they were doing it in Georgia. But see, the law enforcement out in Georgia, they already knew what it was about. They knew the game, and they just let it rock because the last thing they wanted to do is for something to pop off. And the thing is, I applaud the African-Americans that were there with firearms doing what they had to do, but at the same time, it wasn't called for. Because my thing is this, if you're going to be a presence or force, do it on a consistent basis. Don't do it because there's a situation that happened and you want to show your ass. Do it every day. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to bark when somebody walks by the fence. But when nobody's walking by the fence, shit ain't going on and you ain't barking, then what? If you're going to be, if you're going to bark, bark every day. Let them know that you're there. Don't just
it's
do it when they, when the occasion arises.
So other than protesting, Brother B, they could be doing it through the computers, through emails as well.
I've seen people
working for the courts constantly, and they go out and protest, you know.
And I will continue to harp on the fact, and I brought this up before, that it's perfectly fine for these upstanding, law-abiding people that are protesting the idea of having a mask on their face, not to protect them, but to protect other people from getting sick, with guns and protesting and using their Second Amendment rights. But Colin Kaepernick, who is one singular black person who protested peacefully against police brutality, is castigated to the back like he is some sort of a human.
That's exactly what happens in this country when it comes
to a protest.
Do as I say, not as I do. Do as I say, not as I do.
How dare you bring that topic up? Dude, I told you never bring up Kaepernick again, huh? Sean, you never learn your lesson. But,
apparently, I never will. And apparently, neither will the country.
No. Well, we have another caller, Shirley B. Something else you'd like to add on to this?
Hey, what's going on? Good evening, everybody. Glad to hear y'all voices is safe. What's up? So here's my two cents. I wanted to speak in regards to how the police is somebody bored?
No.
Okay, because I heard a yawn, but I ain't hear a yawn before. Anyways.
Shirley. Hi, Shirley. You heard a yawn?
Yeah,
because I just cleared my throat. That was me.
Okay. I was trying to be humorous because it kind of got a little dry, but I guess my dry humor ain't work.
I don't find it funny.
I see it like it's basically it's oppressed versus entitled, dollars versus sex. And as simple as that is said, it carries a lot of meaning to it, to where when enforcement is not really enforced in certain areas where there's entitlement involved, there's the dollars is the only thing that counts, as well as their privilege. Now, if you're going into the neighborhoods that a lot of us are from, and grew up, the gentrification already is filtering the true value in the culture. So, of course, there's not, if you're going against someone and say, oh, why the hell you not wearing your mask, to someone that you've already been oppressing as a people, it's going to trigger a different reaction as opposed to someone where you just peacefully hand them a mask that is always wake up with a smile on their face because they know their entitlement is the way to go. So I feel with years and years of these different types of treatment is going to fester different reactions. Is it right? No. You know, but in our society, that's just the way it is. It's just basically people that are wearing sheets don't have to wear sheets anymore over their face. This is the face of 2020, revealing and seeing through them sheets. And it's unfortunate, you know, I do agree with everybody on the panel that marching and protesting can get you so far. I had that experience of being in the streets protesting. But it's just like I was looking at the Million Man March that was in 1995, I believe. And if I'm wrong on any other facts, y'all can chime in, please. But you see how it was extremely powerful, that movement, and then all of a sudden it just quietly just dissipated. You know, it's just a memory. So I wish there was a lot more unison on that part for even the new Black Panther Party movement, but is this me to say that's just a hope? Do I ever see that happening? No.
Oh, why do you think that's not happening now? I usually would say social media has a lot to do with it. Well, what do you think about that?
I think it's a lot of people take advantage of what's going on for the moment to utilize their platform. Once that, it's just like with the leaders we have, for example, Al Sharpton. He's only around when the camera is showing and there's money involved. And then afterwards, we don't know what he's doing unless he's posting, you know, some dancing routine or whatever he does. But the point is, I've seen it for myself, even when I had people lose their children in the community due to on black crime. And all of a sudden, he come out the woodwork. But when the camera wasn't there, there's no type of community consistency of you know, enriching the community. And now when there's talks about with it, can't really have that because it's so much filtering of our community. So when it comes to social media, yeah, it's cute, but it's not consistent.
Okay.
So what would be like your suggestion, Charlie, for if they open, what should we be doing then differently than what we're doing now?
As far as social media goes or just overall?
No, just overall. Like we were talking about earlier, like when they open, what is like a suggestion that we should be doing? Because we really don't know. We don't have a plan moving forward other than a mask and social distancing.
Okay, and I'm a little lost. So what should we be doing in regards to what, keeping ourselves safe?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely take the antibody test. I would suggest that. I think that's highly important because if you take the antibody test, it does show that you most likely have carried it already and you do have a strong immune system. I would suggest everyone to do that because it could kind of alleviate this ever-growing panic.
I'm sorry, not to cut across, but the only reason why I disagree with that, you don't know what they do with that information. And trust me, they do something with that information.
Yeah.
Once they find out you've had it and your body has beat it, trust me, that information goes somewhere. And they don't just toss your blood. Believe that.
So you're basically looking at it as like a scarlet letter. As soon as you somebody finds out that you had the antibodies in you, that you're basically marked for whatever they want to discriminate against you against or
exactly.
Whatever it may be.
Yeah, they've been
like
setting
the
up
vaccine.
This whole track and trace thing. They're setting up a track and trace.
Well, but they always trace them. This is nothing new. They have all our information.
Because
they're
doing that in other countries.
Out here, and I'll see a Facebook ad about get 3 bundles for $149. And I was like, wait a minute. I wasn't even talking to them. I wasn't even posting nothing about getting new hair. So it's not like I've seen
that's because it goes
off
of what we search. So if you search that, they always keep that. Like there's sometimes when I would search, let's say, The Gap or something, and then here goes the Gap ads while you on there. So they have all our information regardless.
Yeah, it is a form of tracking. I mean, it all started with the Social Security number, right? I mean, I just don't feel people need to, if you watch the news every day, first of all, I don't suggest that for nobody because I did that and I was going to lose my fucking mind. It's a manifested paranoia that everyone has to buy all the shit in the supermarket or buy the wrong thing for the stock to go up on. People need to create more groups, whether it's social media or in person or whatever, to help deal with the anxiety and the paranoia that comes along with dealing with a pandemic. Get real support with each other make it consistent. Don't
and
do
that fear comes
line
from
line.
Not knowing also, not
yeah.
knowing the knowledge of it too. So you're scared first when you don't know something. It's like the doctor tells you, okay, God forbid you have cancer. You're panicked
right.
before you try to learn what kind of cancer you have, what can cure it, and so forth. So the first
mm-hmm.
thing we act on is fear. So I think sometimes we got to take emotions out of it.
Yeah.
And I think it also goes back to what Lady T talked about a couple shows ago as far as the mental state. All of this sitting and watching the news every day, sitting on your hands, waiting at bated breath, it's not good for anyone's mental health
yeah.
at all.
No,
you
not
have
at
to
all.
Kind of tune a lot of this stuff out to a degree. I mean, you know that the only people that I will listen to are doctors,
me.
Scientists that come out and
hello,
actually
me.
Say
hello,
something.
Me. Listen to me all the time. Hello.
Right. As I said
listen
before,
to you.
The only people
you're the
that
king
are
of panic. You're the one who caused the panic.
Scientists and doctors.
But,
that's right.
But I want to go on to my final two topics before we sign off. Sean Beck, quickly, let's talk about the Atlanta jogger, the murder. What happened?
Oh. Well, to give you the quick version of it, we saw a black man over the this happened, I believe, back in, was it February? Is
February.
When it happened?
Yeah, February.
February is when it happened, but the tape was only, the footage was only released to the media last week of Ahmaud Arbery, who was apparently jogging out in the street in broad daylight where he was gunned down by two white men, a father and son. One of them, who actually worked as a cop, was a cop for a DA in Georgia. And we are starting to see, as we talked about earlier, more and more of these instances during this COVID-19 pandemic of black people being apparently killed for no reason. And this was one of them.
Okay. And from that point, hey, Sean, do you think it was a racial target or a misunderstanding or a typical stereotype? What do you think actually happened? Of course, you know, there's different stories. And unfortunately, we don't know the entire fact. But, you know, they're showing videos of the guy, of the jogger entered to somebody's house, but they're not taking anything. And just
yeah.
like an hour ago on CNN, they show him,
of course,
show a body cam. Of course, when these things happen, you always think of
what?
Something of the past of the person that got killed. Of a 2017 arrest of him back
yes.
then?
And as we've seen, usually happens when an African American is killed either by police or by somebody in some situation, instead of going on the facts that are present, we end up getting character assassination of something that may or may not have happened in the past that had absolutely nothing to do with the case. We heard everything from he could have had been involved with casing a place for maybe drugs. Maybe he was in trouble with the law 3 years ago. We've heard all of these things. All we know from the video is that the 911 call was made that there was a black person casing a house or being seen around a house. One person, I think his name is William Bryan, he was got in his car. And he recorded the whole shooting. Now, the
mm-hmm.
only reason why we even know about
nowhere.
This is because he called up a radio station and sent the footage to the DJ of the station. And the reason why he recorded it from what he said was that he thought he was helping out the people that did the shooting to realize that this was not a racial situation, et cetera, et cetera. The DJ
saw the footage and was so upset.
He sent it out to the police, and that's where everything got to where it was.
So basically, he's promoting a killing of a black person.
That's what it
that's
seems
what it sounds
like.
Like.
And the person that had that said that the when they looked at the footage that you spoke of what appears to be Ahmaud Arbery, appears to be, but chances are we don't know all of it yet, is that he was casing the place and he stopped around and looked around. What was apparent is that people have come to that property and look for water. And we've seen footage of children coming to the property and other adults coming to the property because there's a water well in that area where people walk and jog and they go there and they go pick up water and then they get their water and they leave. The owner of the house has said there's never been any burglary. No one's ever stolen anything from the property. So you have that on top of all of the stuff that's going on. You have two white guys who ended up basically doing, quote-unquote, vigilante justice and murdering a black man in broad daylight, caught on a videotape, or I should say on cell phone camera, and nobody knows what happened. Please.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now. They're going to say that he initiated contact. He grabbed the gun. The son was in fear that he was going to take the gun from the father and kill the father, so he shot him.
So self-defense? So you're saying self-defense?
Of course they're gonna self-defense.
They are gonna say it. That's what they only say.
Who initiated contact? See, that's the thing. Who initiated the contact? See, he could have just kept running, but he saw the gun pointed at him and he went to grab it. Now, to play devil's advocate, I could be a lawyer easily saying, well, if he would have just kept running and never grabbed the gun, he would have been alive today. But he brought about his own demise. Huh?
Yeah, but they were shot him from the back for running.
But you know what? That's speculation. That's speculation. There's no – how do you know they were going to shoot him? How do you know?
But here's to push back on that point. How would they know – how would this person who supposedly has nothing to do with the situation, why would he even know that somebody is following him to begin with? He'd have no reason to think that he was being followed for whatever reason if all he was doing was jogging. So his reaction would probably have been the same if they're saying, hey, pull over, we got such and such and such. If he's jogging, minding his business, and running out on a park or whatever he was doing, why would he stop?
Yeah.
If he doesn't even know what he'd be stopping for, and you see, as a black person, two white guys, one in the truck and another one outside behind the door of the truck, and one is pointing a shotgun at you, what do you expect?
You're
going to
keep running.
Keep running, and you keep running, and you get shot in the back.
As a matter of fact, if you looked at the tape, if you look closely, he jogged around the truck. He jogged around the truck. And
but
next thing
you
know,
do after that.
Was the truck on their property, or what was it? No, I'm saying, was the truck on the property?
The truck was
past their property.
The person that killed everything, he made sure that he didn't block the truck because he knew that they were going to try and do something there. So the guy that was filming knew something was up, and he made sure that he blocked the left side of the lane, because this was a narrow two-lane street. The truck with the former cop and his father are on the right side at a turn. The other car is stopped to make sure that Ahmaud Arbery couldn't run past in the opposite direction. So there's that question as well. On top of all the other stuff we're finding out now.
So let me see, what's your take from this overall? Another sad story or deja vu? What's your take?
Sorry, we could hope for justice. That's all we can do. But sorry, I could see them getting lesser charges. I could see that son getting off. I'm just thinking about I don't know. If this scenario plays out all the time, and I think I said this last time on Brother B's show, I don't have any hope right now. I'm sorry to say it like that. I really don't because I'm even looking at the way the defense team is set up and things like that and who's representing the family. It's all about money. It's all about money. They're not going
to
talk about
money to the police
talk about money. I never forget that Brother B posted this, which was like, you know, I'm not surprised how they did GoFundMe for these cops and they raised so much money within days.
They did that many times because it's like this, you know, here we are, another modern day lynching. This is a lynching. That's what I'm calling it because it's like, you know, time and time again, we hear these stories. This person looks suspicious. Didn't they say he looked like the guy that was doing all the burglaries in the area. That's what they said, didn't they? They pointed out a bunch of things.
Every black guy looks like the guy that did the burglary.
But the sheriff said that there was no burglary. The last burglary there was months before.
There was no rash or burglaries. All of it has been blatant lies. And the sad part is, it's not going to mean anything in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, no, it's not.
And Shirley, what's your takeaway from this before I go to my last topic?
I'm sad. It's really heartbreaking to keep. It's an empty hashtag, according to them. The lives that are being impacted, it doesn't matter. You know, we have to take it upon ourselves to, you know, fight these laws. Get a law in place where it has to be looked. You know, this shit gotta stop. You know, every day I pray for my father, my brother, my cousins, my nephews. You know, they walking around being a target already for no reason. You know.
Yep.
And I know that there's two. It's like, all right. My prayer is that there has to be a change in taken to the Supreme Court. Some laws need to be put out there for this shit because this is unacceptable, and it's tiring. It's exhausting.
Yes, indeed. And now my last question goes out to Brother B, aka because he is the love doctor. So, Brother B, in most relationships, in your honest opinion, in relationships, do you think it is better to love someone first than build a relationship, or to build first than love the person?
I think you got to love to build.
Why?
Because, I mean, you got to find you got to see the person as an asset. You know, you gotta love them before you even want to start to visualize or have a vision of a future. Like, you can't just think about building something with someone and, like, the feelings are not there. Like, it, you know, you gotta do the love first. That's the foundation of it, because when shit hits the fan or things go wrong, you still have the foundation of the situation, which is that love, that admiration, you know, for that person. But when you start with the building first, yeah, as soon as something goes wrong, it's going to collapse, because there's no respect to admiration, because you and the person don't have that bond, you know?
I get what Brother B is saying on that note, but it also is based on the person's character and personality, because you can have something going on as far as your relationship going very good, but there's a communication factor. You're thinking it's good. The other person might be thinking it's something else, and so forth. So I think with love also comes communication, because anybody that's willing to, let's say they love you, and then they want to turn around and run out the minute that you have one little argument, that ain't love.
Yeah,
and you have issues communicating with the person. If you can go and you can be in a relationship with someone and you're protesting your love and you're showing it to them, but the minute that Delilah comes, I don't think that's love. I think that's lust. So to me, it's like it's communication factor when you're talking about love. I definitely think that.
Well, see, Sean Black, you still have a chance for me. Oh, see, I was built to love you.
My gosh, that is so gross.
Speak for yourself.
The love is real love. You can't that's an infatuation if you go in and eyes first. And I could tell you, I could give you all of the play, everything you want to hear, I can say that. I can do all those things, but deep down, I'm running game on you. So, it's really about building with somebody, because, you know, you can't have a perfect relationship. My thing is, if I don't really love me, you got to deal with the worst in me or appreciate the worst in me to see the beauty of me, meaning I'm going to get on your fucking nerves all day. I'm going to nag you. I'm going to push you or do something. I'm just going to see if you can handle me at my worst, then you deserve me at my best. And that's about building.
Oh, see? Okay, Sean, you can handle me at my worst.
Yeah, it's all about building, and it's also about trust and respect, and love will come. That's how it happens.
To all of you guys on the panel, I just got a question for y'all, and for Shirley also. Do you think that with everything we just said, that it's still based on the two people and their energy and so forth?
Absolutely.
First of all, this is Brother B.
Yeah, absolutely,
100%. From what I understand, the question to be is, all right, is either are you going to build and then love, or love then build? And my thing is, once again, what's the purpose of building a house if it has no real foundation?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's building first. It's building first, then.
Exactly.
It's not building first. There has to be a bond.
There
has to be a bond in order to build.
There has to be a bond
before you can build. Because if you build before the bond, you put it like this, everybody has their interest vested in it. So, of course,
I think everybody also comes in with their agenda in it. Some people have their agenda with what they plan on doing. I might date her and I might go back to my ex, or, you have your agendas. She's not working, but I love my ex. You know, I've seen things like that before. So it's like,
and I agree with you on that, Lady T. I think
from a female perspective. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the man needs to give a woman the option. Be straight up.
Yeah.
This is what you want to tell me. If you just want to see I may want that too.
Exactly. I might want to date while you're dating also. We need to have options too. And we don't do that. We give our all in it and then get blindsided because of the emotions. At least I feel like that.
I think it was Sean Black, because Sean does the same thing.
Oh, the love doctor,
Sean
Black. Go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
Well, the first thing, as you've heard me say all over these years of doing this show, is that the most important part of everything is communication. I will say that until it's blue in the face.
Yeah.
If you don't communicate what you are looking for, because a lot of people, both male and female, a lot of instances don't know what they want at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Some people know what they want when they're younger. Others won't find it out until they're older. And in some instances, it's flip-flop. Very rare do they meet at the same time. So you have to be able to get that taken care of. Also, if you do have the love for a lot of people is the motivation to build. Because sometimes you can have a goal-oriented person, and they're building towards something, but they're so goal-oriented, they take the emotion out. So it's, I'm going to make this amount of money, I'm going to have this many cars, I'm going to have this career, this, and you have no one to share it with because you've taken the emotion out. So if you have the motivation underneath that, I'm going to be with this person and we have the same things in common, and now I really love this person, I want to make sure that he or she is happy, then you have the motivation to include them in that pathway that you're going for. And if you meet somewhere in the same, because you've heard me say this before, nobody ever gets 50-50. You meet them to where they are going to be needed. If they need 60, you give them 40. If they need 80, you give them 20. And you meet somewhere in that middle piece. Because it's always going to evolve.
I have a question for the men.
How do you know
you love me before you want to build with me? The question I want to ask.
Easy. Oh, is it? Depends how much money you have in your bank account for me. That's all.
It comes with emotions, and the way you feel for the person when you're with them. That's what comes with it. It's by emotion, especially when you're with the person and you feel a certain type of way, like your heart just races and stuff like that.
Don't forget emotions change. I've seen guys change with emotions. So give me a break. You guys flip flop and
every man, just like every woman, they know exactly the point in any relationship when they know that the person that they're with is somebody that they cannot live without. And no matter how often, unless a person is so jaded, they know. It's a matter of, do you deny that to yourself and the person that you're with, or do you follow the same path that can lead to a relationship that gets destroyed?
Okay.
Well, yeah, real quick. But wait, real quick. This, Ms. Shirley.
Yeah.
Never ask a question that's not meant for you to answer.
That's
the
why
question
I
that you just
that's
the whole thing. That's not even a question for you to ask. That's something for you to see. Certain things are made to be seen and not spoken on.
Okay, I'm a poet. I can dig it. I dig it.
All right. But Brother B, K Dog, Sean Black, Danny T, Shirley, guys, thank you so much. Have a good night.
Good night.
Safe. You guys
and remember, I am the hot rod.
All right, take care.
Good night, guys.
All right,
everybody. Be safe
out there. All right, peace.
I have 20 seconds. Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. Remember that. Michael Jordan is the greatest.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Except for that.
That's right.
The stunt double. But, yeah.
Okay. Good night, guys.
Peace out. Be safe, everyone.